Brian Redd, Chief Investigator with the Utah Department of Public Safety, thank you very much for making time today.
It's great to be with you today.
There was a report in the Washington Post last week that pointed to federal law enforcement agencies like the FBI or Immigration and Customs Enforcement requesting facial recognition scans be done on the database of driver's databases of driver's license photographs in different states, and that included Utah. And one of the implications of that reporting that concerned some people was the idea that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials, might be using this technology to find and deport undocumented immigrants living in Utah. And so, Chief Redd, I'm hoping that you can start by telling us about the relationship between federal law enforcement and the Utah Department of Public Safety when it comes to the use of facial recognition technology. And then maybe at the same time, you can address those concerns about how the database is being used when it comes to undocumented immigrants.
Sure. So I guess, first of all, we've had the facial recognition system for several years now, and it's used for singular criminal episodes. So a case-by-case basis, we require a case number and a reason for running the facial recognition scan that is then documented in our records management system. So I should first off say that we offer this to any law enforcement agency that is conducting a criminal investigation. So whether it be the federal agencies or local agencies, that's available to anyone that requests.
And that might mean other states as well, or other.
It could be a request from other states, and we have had those. Yes.
Okay. And then as far as, so you have a case number, but it's active kind of investigations, and so they say we are looking for this specific person. I want to get to another question about this, which is that the Post in its reporting says that this database of driver's licenses was the subject of nearly 2,000 facial recognition searches from outside law enforcement agencies between 2015 and 2017. And they say that it was sometimes dozens of searches a day, and that's based on data provided by the state of Utah to Georgetown University researchers after they filed open records requests with the state. Are those numbers right? 2,000 searches between 2015 and 2017? Does that sound accurate?
Yeah, we estimate that we're getting about, is it 18 a week or 1,000 a year, I think is what we're estimating. So that sounds right.
So a spokeswoman for your department was quoted in the Salt Lake Tribune saying that for ICE-requested facial recognition scans, there were just 49 requests in that same two-year period. There's a big jump between the number 49 and the number 2,000. Why is there a discrepancy? I mean, that's very specific to ICE, but why that?
Well, that include the information that we shared with Georgetown included all facial recognition scans for that period of time. So that included local law enforcement, federal law enforcement, and including ICE. So the 49 were tagged for ICE, and they were cases ranging from homicide to drug trafficking to identity theft, fraud. There were some criminal alien reentry, which is a felony in the federal system. And so when we went back and looked at the 49 and the reasons for those scans, we found that they were for criminal investigative purposes.
That one, the last one you mentioned, criminal reentry, is right. That is a crime under federal law. Just being here undocumented is the sort of, I mean, you don't describe it as a crime, I don't think, but leaving and then coming back is, when you make that reentry, is a crime?
Well, so there were three of those in the 49.
Okay.
And of those, and those three are criminal alien reentry. So we don't have the information as to why they were initially deported, but they were initially deported. So these weren't scans that were done for people that hadn't already been deported, and so they were being investigated for coming back into the country.
Yeah. And then the rest, the 46 others?
Were all what I mentioned earlier.
Hmm. Utah is one of those states where people living in the United States without legal permission, the undocumented immigrants, can get a kind of driver's license. This is the driving privilege card. That came from a law that was sponsored by Republican Senator Kurt Bramble back in 2005. And the idea behind that driving privilege card is to make sure that undocumented immigrants have auto insurance and pass driving tests, that our roads are safer when people, you know, who are living here anyway, can get educated on the rules of the road. And also, you can't buy car insurance if you don't have some sort of license. Do you know, just, I don't know if you can talk about this, but I'm curious how many people in Utah have these driving privilege cards?
So I actually don't have that number. I wouldn't know. You'd have to talk to the driver's license division.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Okay. And then who decided that it was okay for federal law enforcement to access these state records? I know that there's a memorandum of understanding with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and I think there's 21 states where there's something like an MOU between the state and the FBI. That means that 29 states don't have that. Without a policy from lawmakers on this, why does DPS have this MOU with the FBI, throwing around three-letter acronyms right and left? But why did DPS decide that this was a thing that was worthwhile to do?
I think that the FBI wanted the MOU more than us. We don't have MOUs. We just have the requirement that you are a law enforcement agency conducting a criminal investigation. Like I told you earlier, we require a case number and we require the reason for the investigation. So as far as we've treated our federal partners for purposes of this initiative the same as we would treat our local partners. And again, it's singular criminal investigations. It's not, just a broad sweep. As we've clarified in the media in the past, we do not allow federal agencies or any law enforcement agency to access the database. Our Fusion Center analysts run those scans. We have access to the photos that sit on the driver's license photos that sit on a server when our analysts. So another, I think, misconception that's out there is that, this scan is ran and then the photos are just pulled up and then we just forward those on. But that's not the case. Our analysts do a human review of each of those cases to make determinations as to whether information should be passed back, confirming a hit or, a no hit, a match or no match is what we call them.
So they're sort of the intermediaries between federal officials and the scans that are actually happening. I mean, you're right, there is that sort of, if you just read the headlines of the stories, you might think that ICE was getting access to the database and then running their own scans, but that's not happening.
Yeah, not at all. And our analysts don't even get to see the name of the individuals that are being, if the facial rec returns results, they don't see names, they don't see whether it's a driving privilege card, they don't see whether it's a driver's license or an ID card. They don't see any of that. They're strictly looking at the image that was provided by the law enforcement agency and comparing it to the images that the results return, and then they have to make that call. If there's a no match, then we just respond back, no match, and they never see anything. If there's a possible match, then we will return the name of the individual along with the photo that the analyst determined may be the match. And
they can do their own sort of analysis at that point.
Right. And actually, when we accept the photos and then we return them, we also indicate clearly that this is for lead purposes only, so they have to corroborate any information that they get from us in their investigation. So one question that I had in talking with some groups is there's an investigation that occurs before the photo comes to us, and then there's an investigation that occurs after the photo comes to us, and we ensure that the agency knows that has to, you need to do your own, you need to do your own work on these things.
Meaning it's not that here's a hit, we're going to go arrest this guy immediately.
Exactly. They can't do that. They have to corroborate the information. It's a lead only. So like if it's maybe it's a bank robbery photo, they would maybe run the scan. If we got a good picture, it would return the results. And then we would return and say, this is a possible match, but you're not going to go make an arrest solely on that information.
We mentioned the sort of MOU with the FBI, or I don't know if I got that clarified. Is there like a memorandum of understanding, or is it just that any agency, be it from state or federal law enforcement, has to have a case number that they then come to you with, or is it both?
So the Department of Public Safety has a facial recognition policy that's been in place for several years, and that is the policy that indicates that there will be a case number and kind of outlines the process for us. And actually, after this, obviously, we're reviewing that right now, and we've had great suggestions from advocacy groups, from lawmakers of inquiry in the media, and so we're looking at our policy and saying, can we make it better? Can we improve it? And we will do that.
Is this technology, facial recognition, here at DPS primarily used for law enforcement purposes in conjunction with, what is the purpose of the facial recognition software that you house here from DPS's perspective?
It's to assist in lead information for criminal investigations primarily. There was one case kind of outside of that lane that we used it for that I can remember, and there was an individual who was found dead on the side of the road. You could call that a criminal investigation if you want. But we were just looking to identify the individual. So persons that are unable to identify who they are I mean, you know, for whatever reasons, either they've been deceased or maybe there's other reasons. Maybe they're wandering around and they don't know who they are. Those types of cases, we would use the facial recognition to help try to identify them. And so in the case of the situation on the side of the road years ago, we were able to identify that individual and then make notification to his family and get him taken care of.
Going back to that idea of how information is accessed and how, you know, some other states, essentially, from what I understand, they don't have policies in place and or they reject requests coming in from federal law enforcement to have photos run of potential suspects in a crime. Do you want to see the rules changed on how federal law enforcement or, I mean, you said you were reviewing it, but is there a need to do something like have a warrant or a subpoena of some sort? Would that make the rules more clear-cut or your job easier?
Well, obviously these discussions go on all the time on these things, and we're aware that people are talking about a warrant or a subpoena requirement. We are looking at other options, too, on maybe getting more information or having the request come through a different portal that maybe even tracks more information than we already are. I mean, the search warrant requirement, there will be a lot of facial recognition scans that most likely won't be able to be accomplished because you have to have probable cause of a crime. So there are going to be situations where people, law enforcement agencies in a criminal investigation may be trying to identify witnesses or identify suspects. And so it may be difficult to get a warrant because it's for lead purposes. And so there may be a situation, I can think of one actually, where a law enforcement agency was investigating an individual who was arrested. There was some indication of another person involved in this crime, and he was tied to the social media page of the individual. And so that scan actually was run, and we were able to exonerate that individual actually that was looked at as a potential suspect in working with this individual who had been arrested for a crime, and we were able to identify him. And there were some tattoos on his current photo that weren't on the social media photo. And so when we went back to the law enforcement agency, they were able to say, no, the particular individual that was with the suspect arrested did not have tattoos. And so we were able to say, okay, then the person on his social media account is not the person that was involved. And so in that case, we may not be able to get a probable cause search warrant to run a scan on a situation like that. Subpoena, there's a lower standard, but there is some complexity. And I mean, it does add additional work to law enforcement, but that's a decision that lawmakers or people are going to have to make, whether that's something that needs to be done.
Just generally, I think facial recognition software is being used a lot more than many people. Before digging into the story a little bit, I didn't realize how pervasive it is in the public sphere, too. I mean, you look at tagging your friends on Facebook or whatever it is. One of the concerns of privacy advocates is that, you know, when it comes to the driver's license database, my image might be being scanned as part of this search of all driver's licenses trying to find a match, and that somewhere out there, the digital image of my driver's license picture is now being used to, say, help improve facial recognition software out there, that it's sort of teaching the AI or the algorithm. But that's not something that I necessarily consented to when I went into the DMV. I need a driver's license anyway, so I'm probably going to get it. But is that happening with our driver's license database? When the facial recognition scan is done, it runs through all the photographs of the entire database and then says, here are the potential matches and spits those out.
So again, the photos sit on a server independent from the driver's license database. They've essentially been moved over. They're managed by the Department of Technology Services, manages all of the state data. So they're available there. And then there's no personal identifying information. So it's just scanning through the photos. So I don't know exactly your question with AI, but I mean, the photos are there and it is scanning through the photos. And it's only returning potential matches that again have to be verified by an analyst, whether there's a potential match or lead that needs to go to law enforcement.
How useful is there are a fair amount of reports of facial recognition software not being very accurate, though I understand that it's getting better all the time. I guess, how useful of a tool do you esteem this to be, Chief Red?
Well, I think it's one of many tools that can be used in criminal investigations. So like anything, if it can help solve a murder, a major crime that's occurring in our community, that's a tool that we would like to have in law enforcement. And we want to use it appropriately, and we want to make sure there's the oversight that the public would want to have on it. I mean, we want to work closely and make people feel comfortable with how we're using it. But it is a tool among many that is valuable.
other jurisdictions and mainly cities in certain parts of the United States have put a moratorium on the use of facial recognition software until privacy and other concerns are worked out. Is that something that you think is necessary, that the idea of putting a pause, pressing pause on facial recognition software in, I mean, you just said that you want it as a tool. I'm guessing the answer is no.
Yeah, I mean, we have been using it for several years. We have never had a complaint or what we would, at least as far as we know, a misstep in making a decision to move a potential match to a local law enforcement agency. Like I say, it's exonerated individuals that were being investigated. It helps solve cases. So I think we have tried to put the safeguards in place. We tried to do all of those things to use it in the least intrusive way with considerations toward privacy and civil liberties. I mean, you know, we're not doing live scanning. That's been one question that a legislator asked a few years back in a meeting that when we were talking about it.
And that means like on the street live scanning. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, we don't have it. You don't. If you step on the UTA bus, it's not taking your picture and then sending it to our system. It's not like that. There has to be a singular criminal investigation going on, and so it's not just scanning multiple photos, which is a misconception. Well, okay. That is possible to do. Yeah. We're not doing that in Utah right now.
How about just any other parts of the story that we aren't considering when we read about federal law enforcement and the database of driver's licenses, or when we more generally think about facial recognition? What's another point that maybe isn't getting considered that you think is worth considering from a public perspective?
I would say there was a question to me about the 49 checks and why ICE was doing those types of investigations. So one of the things within the Department of Homeland Security are various divisions, very similar to DPS. We have the Highway Patrol, the State Bureau of Investigation. So those cases were coded ICE. We don't really know if they were ICE or Homeland Security investigations, or we don't know if ICE was supporting another agency on a criminal investigation. But what we do know is the reason those checks were ran were for criminal investigative purposes. So I would say that.
And just on that point, I mean, ICE, I don't think of ICE as often a criminal investigation. I mean, this is just my layman's perspective, but you know, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, I think about them focusing specifically on.
You're thinking about enforcement and removal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's
and what customs, I guess.
Yeah, and that's what we're saying is Homeland Security investigations or HSI, they do conduct criminal investigations, and there's a great possibility that some of those cases were actually done for ASI, but coded at ICE. So one of the things that we're doing now is making sure we can ensure that when a request comes in from the Department of Homeland Security, we get the correct division within Homeland Security to make sure that, I mean, just for clarification, so I would say that. I would say another question that's come to me and to us is, does the driving privilege card database information, are we doing anything along the lines with that database with immigration? I mean, right, for immigration purposes, or sharing any information from the driver's license privilege database with regard to facial recognition to Immigrations and Customs Enforcement? And the answer is no. The driving privilege card photos, just like every photo in the driver's license division, sit in there, but there's no attached information and there's no attempt to share that to ICE.
Okay.
I would also say that we have worked really hard to build trust in our refugee and immigrant communities here in Utah, the Department of Public Safety and law enforcement in general. And we want to continue to build that trust. We want to continue. So we're very happy to, you know, talk with community groups, with the media, with advocacy groups to, you know, clarify anything. But we do care for our immigrant communities. We want them to report crime that may be occurring in their communities. And we want to remove bad people within their communities or generally from allowing any victimization to go on in those communities. And so that's important to us as well.
I don't know about this from your perspective, but I imagine that not wanting to disincentivize people from getting those driving privilege cards is also important, because you want people to be licensed or to have some sort of license and insurance on the road.
Absolutely. That's very important. And we want those communities to trust us. And so we're happy that you would come and talk with us and help, you know, educate on this program.
Brian Rudd, Chief Investigator with the Utah Department of Public Safety, thank you once more for taking the time to speak with me today.
You bet. Thank you.